80 fish dead in 3 weeks. Not a disease. Not a predator. Not bad fingerlings. She had spent just over $2,000 on that setup. Good pump, quality tank, a brand name filter she'd seen recommended in 3 different online groups. And every single one of those fish died because of a $40 piece of equipment she had decided to skip. You can't outspend bad water, and I mean that in the most literal way possible. The money does not fix the biology. It never has. Last episode, we talked about the nitrogen cycle, about cycling your tank before you ever add a single fish, about the beneficial bacteria that have to establish themselves in your system before it can process fish waste safely. If you haven't heard that episode, go back. What we cover today builds directly on it. Because once your water is cycled and your tank is biologically ready, the next question becomes, what keeps it that way? What maintains that invisible living chemistry day after day while your fish are eating and growing and producing the waste that the whole system has to absorb? The answer is filtration. And filtration is where more beginners spend money in the wrong places than anywhere else in this entire process. Here is what you need to understand before we go any further. There are 2 completely different jobs that a filter and a fish tank has to perform, and most of the products sold to beginners address only one of them. The first job is mechanical filtration, physically removing solid waste particles from the water. Fish produce solid waste. Uneaten food sinks and decomposes. Mechanical filtration catches that material before it breaks down further and contributes to ammonia load. A sponge filter, a pad, a mesh basket, anything that physically intercepts particles moving through the water column. That is mechanical filtration. It is the visible work. The second job is biological filtration, and this is the one that keeps your fish alive. Biological filtration is not about catching particles. It is about providing surface area where your beneficial bacteria can live and work. Those bacteria, the ones that convert ammonia to nitrite and nitrite to nitrate, need to colonize something. They will grow on tank walls, on gravel, on any hard surface in the water. But the most effective biological filters give them enormous amounts of textured surface area in a compact form. Ceramic rings, bio balls, sponge media, lava rock. These materials are not there to catch debris. They are there to house a living colony. That is their only job, and nothing replaces them. The woman who lost 80 fish in 3 weeks had a beautiful mechanical filter. It was catching solids, moving water, making the kind of quiet hum that sounds like a system working correctly. What it did not have was biological media. The water looked clean. It was not clean in any way that mattered to the fish living in it. Ammonia was building silently, invisibly, in water that had no bacterial population large enough to process it. And she found out about the problem the way most beginners find out, which is at feeding time, when the fish that should be competing aggressively at the surface aren't moving toward the food at all. That behavioral shift, fish that suddenly lose interest in feeding, is something I want you to file away. It tends to show up quietly, usually only 1 or 2 fish at first, and it is easy to attribute to stress from shipping or temperature fluctuation or a dozen other explanations that feel plausible in the moment. We will come back to that signal before this episode is done. A proper biological filter for a beginner backyard setup does not have to be expensive. That is the part that makes losing fish to filtration failure so hard to accept after the fact. A simple sponge filter with a ceramic media chamber, the kind that runs off a small air pump, will run you between $30 and $50. For a 300 to 500-gallon stock tank holding 50 to 100 tilapia, that is the mechanical and biological filtration combination that works. Not a $200 canister filter, not a specialized aquaponics system, a sponge filter with biomedia, running 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. That is the piece of equipment that saves more fish than anything else money can buy in a beginner system. The air pump that runs it costs another $15 to $25. If that pump fails in the middle of a hot July night, your oxygen levels can crash within hours. Tilapia are among the most oxygen-tolerant food fish you can raise. They can survive in conditions that would kill other species quickly. But even tilapia have limits, and a still, unfiltered, warm tank in a Georgia summer will find those limits faster than you want to discover. This is why experienced small-scale farmers keep a backup air pump on the shelf, not in a box somewhere. on the shelf, charged if it has a battery backup, ready to swap in the same morning the primary goes quiet. The testing side of water maintenance is where a second category of beginner mistakes clusters. Most people either test obsessively at first and then stop when things seem stable, or they never test at all and operate by visual inspection alone. Neither approach works long term. Visual inspection will not catch an ammonia spike until the fish are already stressed. And spotty testing means you have no baseline, no normal to compare against when something starts to go wrong. The parameters you need to track in a freshwater fish system are not complicated. pH, ammonia, nitrite, and nitrate. A liquid test kit that covers all four will run you between $20 and $30 and will last through dozens of tests. The cheaper strip tests are faster, but less accurate, at the low concentration ranges that matter most. The difference between an ammonia reading of 0.25 parts per million and 0.5 parts per million is significant to a tank of fish, and strips often can't distinguish those values reliably. If you are going to test, and you are, use the liquid kit. For a cycled stock tank in a stable warm weather system, weekly testing is your minimum. If you have recently changed anything, added fish, changed feed, experienced a temperature swing, lost power to the pump, test immediately after the change and again 48 hours later. Ammonia should read 0. Nitrite should read 0. Nitrate can climb over time and is managed through partial water changes, replacing about 20% of the tank volume with fresh dechlorinated water every 1 to 2 weeks. Dechlorination is a step that catches beginners off guard when they first hear it. Tap water in most municipal systems is treated with chlorine or chloramine to make it safe for human consumption. Both are toxic to the beneficial bacteria in your biofilter at the concentrations present in tap water. A small amount of liquid dechlorinator, sodium thiosulfate, available for a few dollars at any pet supply store, neutralizes chlorine instantly. Chloramine takes a specific dechlorinator labeled for both. Check your local water utility's website if you are not sure which your area uses. This is a 2-minute step that protects the bacterial colony you spent weeks building. You only forget it once. Back to those fish that stopped feeding. That behavioral signal, the slow withdrawal from the surface at mealtime, one or two fish at first, then more, is the single most useful early warning your tank will give you before an ammonia problem becomes a mortality event. Healthy fish, in clean water, at the right temperature, are aggressive feeders. They come to the surface fast, compete with each other, and clear the food quickly. When that energy drops without a corresponding drop in temperature or a recent handling stress, test your water before you do anything else. Not tomorrow. That afternoon, an ammonia reading that climbs from 0 to 0. 5 parts per million is manageable with a partial water change and a reduction in feeding. A reading that has been quietly climbing for 3 days while you waited to see if things improved is a different situation entirely. The woman who lost those 80 fish did not lose them because she was careless or uninformed or cheap. She lost them because the information she found online told her what to buy without ever explaining what each piece of equipment was actually doing and why the gap between mechanical and biological filtration is the gap between a tank that looks healthy and a tank that actually is. Once she understood the difference, she rebuilt the system with a sponge filter, a bag of ceramic bio rings from the fish store, and a basic liquid test kit. Her next batch of 50 tilapia survived. She tested the water twice a week and kept a backup air pump in the cabinet beside the tank. You cannot outspend bad water, but you can absolutely outsmart it. And the tools that make the difference cost less than a single bag of fingerlings. A $30 sponge filter with ceramic media, a $25 liquid test kit, and a $10 bottle of dechlorinator will protect your fish better than any expensive system that does not include biological filtration. Get those 3 things right before you spend another dollar on anything else in this setup. In the next episode, we put something living in the tank, and we talk about the specific fish that has bailed out more first-season backyard farmers than any other species on Earth. If water quality is the foundation, the right fish is what you build your confidence on. And there is one species that forgives almost everything a beginner is going to do wrong in that first grow-out cycle. Before we get there, I want to hear from you. You can't outspend bad water, but some of you are going to try anyway. So tell me, when you build something from scratch, Are you the kind of person who researches every detail before you spend a dollar? Or do you learn better by buying the equipment and figuring it out as you go? Neither answer is wrong. But I want to know which one you are, because this series is going to challenge both of you in completely different ways. Episode 2 is complete. Kill Switch opens mid-loss with a $2,000 failure in the first sentence. The Garden Ghost, fish losing interest in feeding, is dropped as a passing behavioral detail early and stays unresolved until the final explanation lands in the last 500 words, with the midpoint pulse callback hitting right at the approximately 1-200 word mark. Pattern interrupt rotation runs pro tip. Mentor anecdote. High stakes failure warning across all cycles. Present tense snaps in during every high tension micro scene. Polarization outro is a genuine 50-50th split. Researcher versus hands-on learner. No editorializing, no correct answer.